The legislation would require people to be at least 20 feet away while recording law enforcement activity, or farther if officers decide that's needed. Recording inside private buildings such as homes would be allowed from an adjacent room or area unless an officer objects. And what officer isn't going to object, right? And let's just step into their minds for just a second. With what has happened with George Floyd, we've seen that video. Do you think officers are going to willingly say, yeah, go ahead and film me. Go ahead and film me. It's okay. We might have some like that. But with what happened there, one slip up, one mess up, one loss of self-control, one push over the edge. We're watching you. I think that we have forgotten that the police exist for the public's benefit and not their own. Violations would be petty offenses or, if a warning is given, misdemeanors carrying up to 30 days in jail. Whereas, you know what, folks? I am, and those of you in the on the Crusade channel who know who Mark Kreslins is, the more and more I see this absolute insanity coming out, the more and more I think Mark is not too far off with his push for secession and his push that the Constitution is just lacks any power anymore. When you have senators and you have congressmen and you have quotey fingers, lawmakers, end quotey fingers, that make laws and bills and pass legislation that do not even consider the constitutionality of it. Bills that would violate, that would put you in jail for 30 days because you filmed a public official in an act of their public duty. That's how they're working on that right now, folks. That is how they're working on that right now. Okay, now, another thing. We've got a few minutes left here on the breakdown on the last live radio station standing, the Crusade Channel, crusadechannel.com. Always on air and always online. You know, I'm looking at two stories here that I really want to cover, and I'm probably going to have to push one of these for actual coverage on the other show. But I read an article yesterday, and this article really impacted me to the point where there's a guy, just going to tell you, there's a guy named Shy Lin. Shy Lin is a gospel rapper. Now, if you listen to his music, he's a Christian hip hop artist, and his music is phenomenal. And not just because the beats are great, but when you listen to him, the theology that's behind his music is just fantastic. I made a comment to my wife one time, I've made it to several people over the past several years after following for probably, I'd say 7 years, 7, 8 years, something like that. I told my wife and my girls are really big fans of him too. I was like, you know, you hear more theology in a 3.5 minute song than you hear from most pulpits in the United States of America or even around the world on a Sunday morning. Now, Shy Lin is a black man, a black American, and he wrote a letter. It was a white sister in Christ reached out to him and asked him how he was doing. And he said he didn't want to respond at first. He said that he just didn't want to answer. He didn't want to talk about it. He gave a talk at the Gospel Coalition, I think it was, the Gospel Coalition last year. And it was on racial and ethnic divide. And he was like, look, I don't want to talk about this. I'd rather not talk about this. I'd rather talk about what unifies us in Christ. I'd rather talk about the gospel. I'd rather talk about the Trinity. I'd rather talk about Christ's work on the cross. I'd much rather talk about those things. But in this instance, he knew that there was a responsibility to confront these, because quite honestly, the church has not done a good job confronting these issues. Just like we said with the police officers earlier, there's round condemnation, but no actual change. So in this article that he released just the other day, he said that he was asked by his sister in Christ. He didn't want to respond, but he said, I did. And I want to read you most, if not all, of the letter that he wrote to her. And the first paragraph is extremely telling. He says, Sister, I'm going to tell you how I'm doing. And as I tell you, please understand that I'm incapable of completing this message without weeping. There's a part of me that's saying, spare yourself the pain, Shy. It's not worth it. But I'm choosing not to listen to that part of me because I would be robbing you of an opportunity to bear one another's burdens and mourn with those who mourn. And I'm sure as a sister in Christ, you want to do just that. That statement right there. Whenever somebody asks you, you're dealing with burdens, you're dealing with heaviness and you're hurt and you're dealing with frustration, you're having issues with your marriage, your job's not going well, your kids are out of control, you just wrecked your car, just whatever it is in your situation you're facing that's just driving you absolutely bonkers. Somebody comes up and says, man, you know, dude, are you okay? Oh yeah, dude, I'm fine, man. I'm great. Yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. No, you're not. Not only are you lying because you're not fine, but we're commanded to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're told that. We're commanded. How can I bear your burdens if you don't bear your burdens? You've got to tell me. And if I come to you, if I notice something's off, and I take time to come to you and say, look, something's wrong. Can you, what's up? You need to talk? You don't know the blessings that could come, first off, to you from being able to express your concern and desire to me because I've asked. But you're robbing that person. I hate to say me, but I'm putting me in this situation. You're robbing me of the blessings of being able to help you, to walk through that process with you, to walk alongside you in counsel and help and do whatever I can. If somebody in your family's sick and a brother or sister in Christ reaches out and says, hey, can I bring you a meal? Oh, no, we're good. We're fine. You're robbing that brother or sister from the ability to provide a blessing to you. And you're robbing yourself of the opportunity to be humble and submit to that other person. That's just the first paragraph, and we got to get through this. We got a few minutes left here. He says, Sister, I'm heartbroken and devastated. I feel gutted. I haven't been able to focus on much at all since I saw the horrific video of George Floyd's murder. The image of that officer with hand in pocket as he calmly and callously squeezed the life out of that man while he begged for his life is an image that will haunt me until the day I die. But it's not just the video of this one incident. For many black people, it's never about just one incident. Just as it wasn't just about the videos of Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, Philando Castile, Sandra Bland, Laquan McDonald, Walter Scott, Rodney King, etc., 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 etc. Folks, and he says etc., not me. We talk about it's different. We talk about this as this is a one-time occurrence, a one-time instance, and people getting mad and protesting. And they're like, look, it wasn't about racism in this regard. It was just one guy that was killed, and it was wrong, and it was horrible the way that the police officer did it, but we don't know it's about racism. You don't understand that when folks see that, when our black brothers and sisters see that man being choked out of his life, it's not just about George Floyd. All right? It's not just about George Floyd. It's about the fact that it's happening over and over again. It's about the fact that there has been oppression for generations. It's about the fact that, as we will continue to see in this story, it's not just watching police brutality or watching a black man die in custody. Shailen says, this is about how being a black man in America has shaped both the way I see myself and the way others have seen me my whole life. It's about being told to leave the sneaker store as a 12-year-old because I was taking too long to decide which sneakers I wanted to buy with my birthday money, and the white saleswoman assumed I was in the store to steal something. It's about being handcuffed and thrown into the back of a police car while walking down the street during college, and then waiting for a white couple to come identify whether or not I was the one who'd committed a crime against them, knowing that if they said I was the one, I would be immediately taken to jail, no questions asked. It's about walking down the street as a young man and beginning to notice that white people, women especially, would cross to the other side of the street to avoid walking past me, and beginning to preemptively cross to the other side myself to save them the trouble of being afraid and to save me the humiliation of that silent transaction. It's about taking a road trip with my sons to visit his wife's family in Michigan, and my greatest fear being getting pulled over for no reason other than driving while black. Told to get out of the car, cuffed and sat down on the side of the road, utterly emasculated and humiliated with my young boys looking out the window, terrified. Which is exactly what happened to a good friend of mine when he took his family on a road trip. It's about the exhaustion of constantly feeling I have to assert my humanity in front of some white people I'm meeting for the first time to let them know, hey, I'm not a threat. You don't need to be afraid. If you got to know me, I'm sure we have things in common.